My name is Rabbi David Pardo, and this is Mishnah Taharot. We are in Chapter 4, Mishnah 12. We are coming up on the end of that list that we started a couple days ago, where we were dealing with cases of Safek, where we are Metaher, which followed the list of Sfekos that we are Metame. So now we are up to Mishnah number 12, and we get to Safek Achulin. Safek Achulin. What is Safek Achulin about? So the Bartnur explains that there are there's sort of like three tiers on our hierarchy of people who mind Tuma. There are, of course, the Ochle Truma, Kohanim, who eat Truma, who have to be very sensitive to Tuma Tara. They're at the very top. At the very bottom are the Am Haaretz, the Amaratim, in parlance. These are people who don't really pay attention at all to Tuma Tara. And then we have people who are not Kohanim but are sensitive to Tuma Tara. These are Prushim. These are the Pharisees. And they are sensitive to Tuma Tara, but they are not Ochlei Truma. So they eat their Chulin B'Tahara. They eat their non-consecrated food in a state of purity. So the Barnur explains to us that the clothing of the Amaretz is midrash impurity to the Prushim, and the clothing of Prushim is midrash impurity to the Ochlei Truma. It's sort of like a hierarchy there, or perhaps the reverse. So that's the case we're dealing with. Safek Achulin, that either a Pharisee stepped on the clothing of an Amaretz or an Ochel Truma stepped on the clothing of a Pharisee. It's a Safek. We're not sure if they stepped on it or they didn't step on it. So Zo Tara Prishut. So that's this is a case where we're going to be Metaher. This is the purity of the Pharisees. Safek Shratzim. What's the case? So Shratzim are creepy crawlies that render Avatuma. So we're back to the loaves. We know that they're bugs and they're racing between the loaves, and we don't know whether they touch the loaf or not, and there's a lot of loaves and the bug probably touched one of them, but we say Kishat Mitziyatan. We're back to that rule that we had, that we always render something Tamei Tahor depending on how we found it, not on how we extrapolate. So even though it's likely that the bug might have touched one of the loaves, if we didn't see it with our own eyes, then Kishat Mitziyatan. We just judge it the way where the bug is right now, and if the bug is on a loaf, then all the loaves are tahor. Safek nagaim. So in case of tzara'at, and we have a safek if the person suffering tzara'at touched something or didn't touch something, so then it depends. But chila tahor, ad shelo niskak l'tuma, misha niskak l'tuma, sfeiko tame. So it really depends if the individual has been judged rightly, having contracted tzara'at by a kohen or not. If they have not, they haven't acquired that official status, even though it looks like they probably have it. They're waiting, quote unquote, for the doctor to check up on them. Then if it hasn't come to the point where the kohen has declared that they are definitely tame, then their safek is tahor. However, once they've been declared having tzara'at, then even if they look like they're on their way out, but the kohen hasn't come and declared them fully out, then that will that safek is tame. Safek nazirut. So how does someone get into a situation of safek nazirut with a great deal of care? Apparently, so let's say a person. This is the example given in Bartnur, that someone swore that they're a nazir if there are 100, I don't know, bushels of something in this particular silo, right? There are 100 bushels of wheat in a particular silo, and then, well, now you have to go figure out if there are or aren't. So you go to the silo, and it has been ravaged. Someone has run through and stolen all the things, and we don't know if there were at the time that he swore if there were 100 bushels or not. So that's a case of Safek Nazir, and we say Mutter. He's not bound to the laws of the Nazir. Safek Bechorot. So we have a Safek if the child is the Bechor or not, whether this is indeed the first child to come out of this particular mother's womb, if it's a peterecha, mechad bechorei adam, mechad bechorei behema. This applies to, I was trying to use neutral language, child. So this applies to humans and to animals. So whether this is the first human child to this human mother, or whether this is the first animal child to this animal mother. And we don't know if perhaps the mother had a child before or not. Bein tmeya, bein tehura, whether the animal belongs to a Kohen or not. So we say, this is implicit, you're not going to find the word here, but we say all of these cases that the person doesn't owe money, meaning we don't ascribe the status of bechor to the young child or to the young animal. In all these cases, what we're talking about here is that the kohen's going to come collect. So either if it's a human, the kohen's going to come collect five units of silver from the family, as is still our custom today. If you've ever been to such a party, or it's an animal, and then the kohen gets pater echem. In all these cases, it's a safek. We say that they don't owe the kohen anything, because you say to the kohen, shamotzi mechaviru alav haraya. The burden of proof is upon the kohen to prove that this isn't a safek, that this really is the bechor. And until the kohen can prove that, the burden of proof rests on him. He will not be able to extract whatever value he's trying to extract. That's it for Mishnah 12. Mishnah 13, Safik Korbanot. What is a case of Safik Korbanot? Safik if you owe a korban or not. So here's the example in the Mishnah. Ha'isha sheyish aleha safik chamesh ledot u'safik chamesh zivot. So we have a woman, and it's either the case that she has five Safik births. What's a Safik birth? That she had a miscarriage, and it's not clear whether this is the kind of miscarriage that she is chayav a korban for or not chayav a korban for, and this is elaborated in Mishnah Krisus, or Safek Chamish Zivot. So for those of you who've learned through Nida know that there's a difference between Nida and Ziva, regardless of our current practice today. And 5 months have gone by, and on each month, this particular woman bled 3 consecutive days. And if it's unclear to her, I'm trying to be ambiguous because all this falls into like big webs of machlokos rishonim. So she had 5 consecutive months where it wasn't clear if she was bleeding during her nida time or during her ziva time. So she might be a zava, but she might not be. She might just be a normal nida. And then the consequences for her vis-a-vis korbanot very different. So this is the situation. We have a woman, and it's not clear if she owes these korbanot. That's the bottom line here. It's not clear if she owes these korbanot, or maybe it's a different status. She has a different status that wouldn't require her to bring any korbanot. Mevia korban echad. Remember, these are 5 times that she bumps into the same safek consecutively, and we tell her only bring 1 korban and cover all of them. Cover all five situations. The ochelet bezvachim, and once she brings this korban, she's able to eat zvachim. She's considered clear. She's considered tahora. Ve'ein hashara leha chova, and the rest of them, i.e. the other four that she suffic owes, we don't require her to bring at all. In fact, we not only don't require her to bring, we don't allow her to bring, because. As Barnur explains, that Malikat Chulin Lemizbeach, that the bird offering, the Chatat that she brings one of, but she should bring five, but if she doesn't owe them, then it's a problem. It's actually Aser to do Malika and Chulin Lemizbeach just for fun, unless it's for the specific purpose of the above-mentioned Korbanot. So B'kosha Hitiru, they barely matired the Malika of 1 Chatat offering, and they did it just so that she would be able to eat zvachim. And once they allow this one will allow her to eat zvachim. They don't want to mind the other 4, so she only brings 1. Ad Khan, the 4th chapter. Thanks for getting through it with me. Tomorrow we're going to start on chapter number 5. Look forward to seeing you there.